He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Dinchcombe is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Cigna Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
Stinch, Happy New Year. How you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. I feel fresh and revived.
Yeah.
A brand new year, man. Aren't y'all jacked up?
Everything is anew. Everything, as you said, is fresh. We all get a fresh start on this day. Actually, well, it started yesterday, but what's your New Year's resolution? Do you have one? To stop talking to us, perhaps?
I view resolutions as, goals that you choose to ignore. So I just don't, I don't put those together. I feel like I'm setting myself up for disappointment. I have goals, but I don't refresh them each year. For some reason, 12 months seems arbitrary, so I don't have those yet.
This is the year I'm going to be a better dad.
Yeah, that's the one. And know what? Just for this year. When does that one expire?
Right.
Exactly. So in 2021, I come up with a new one?
Yeah, and that you proved you were a good dad. Now you move on to the next challenge.
I'm done doing that. I did that last year.
Of course.
I'm not so sure. Let's use the pro thing because the Atlanta Falcons are on a lot of people's minds as well. You go 6-2 to end, and people are trying to figure out, wow, can you carry that into next year? I don't believe you can. What I think you can do is determine whether you like your style or not. So let's bring it back to Georgia. Was enough not done? And you could tell me, well, last night's game maybe changes some of it. Was enough not done where they don't change this offense? I just read, I don't know if you were on hold, it was the dated wardrobe analogy. Every once in a while, you make a plan to ditch the dated wardrobe. Georgia's offense is the dated wardrobe. Do you think this season, watching LSU, watching Oklahoma, watching Ohio State, is that going to be enough to make changes that we actually see and they're tangible next year?
I think it's possible, and I think it's possible to do it within personnel and staffing. I read an article that Seth Emerson did a couple weeks ago, and he was citing some data in regards to returning receiving yards. We make a lot about offensive linemen and whether or not that return's intact and rushing yards and that sort of thing. But as a predictor of success, offensive success specifically, the role that returning receiving yards, meaning known commodities, that has and how that correlates or if it correlates with wins and losses. And it was pretty compelling. And I didn't commit to memory, but compelling enough to say that almost tells the story offensively is what do you look like at receiver, even more so than some of the other positions, including quarterback, which I thought was interesting. So, is it possible to be more or different next year? And that's assuming quite a few things, including the health of, a Dominic Blaylock and his knee. But is it possible to be different offensively with who they currently have? And I think the answer is yes. We'll know who they currently will or who they will in the future have, especially a quarterback. Jake Fromm, the comments that I was paying attention to, at least after the game, seemed like he covered both ends of the spectrum. It sounded at one point like he was leaving, and then another point it sounded like he might be coming back. I think that's an interesting thing to follow, of course, because of the fact that you're looking at a backup quarterback situation that to say it's wide open is a gross understatement. I think you're looking at a transfer scenario. If not that, then maybe stabbing in another true freshman with and out of necessity, incidentally, not out of like a 2017 scenario where you had a veteran that came back from injury and he just got beaten out in Jacob Eason. Not an ideal scenario offensively, that's for sure, especially if you're going to be changing philosophies.
There's life decisions, there's football decisions, and a lot of times it's going to come down to the big one. It's a business decision. Tua says he's going to announce on January 6th. I'm not saying it's the way you want to do it, but could that announcement actually affect what Jake Fromm does?
I think it could, yeah. Incidentally, it would be curious to see, what the outside world knows about Tua's status, because as cold-blooded as it sounds, how healthy is this guy and how much would that impact his draft status? When you look at him coming back from that hip injury, having two surgically repaired high ankle sprains, whether or not that would impact his draft status, his value from an NFL standpoint, if I'm Jake Fromm, surely that would weigh into it because you're looking at a draft class where I think last night they put up a graphic where Fromm was fourth or fifth, I think.
He was fourth. Eason was fifth.
Yeah, that's right.
They put Herbert right in front of him at three.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. And again, that's according to a draft analyst. He gets zero picks. He makes zero decisions on draft day. That's to take nothing away from Todd and the work he does. I think he does a great job. But he also doesn't get a vote. That's just an opinion. And so and all of it is, incidentally, at this juncture. But to think that Tua and Tua's status, not only his decision, but even his health status going forward and how that projects doesn't impact a decision that Jake Fromm might have in regards to his pro career, I think for sure it weighs pretty heavily.
Matt Stinchcomb, the College Football Hall of Famer, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. It's a loaded question. I understand that. But if Georgia doesn't make any changes offensively, can Jake Fromm improve his stock? Has he hit a ceiling?
No, I think he can. I think this year, if anything, and a lot of people will point out, including the folks that I think he works with in the offseason, there's no doubt he's a talented quarterback, but this was not the year that he wanted, especially one that would project to the next level. Now, can that be unearthed yet again in the offseason, during combines, during player workouts, et cetera, and pro days? Absolutely it can. And the film doesn't lie. But also this year, the film doesn't always tell a very pretty story, not for Jake Fromm, not for the entire season, that's for sure. And in previous years, you could point to one or two outings where you thought, nah, it just wasn't a great day. Wasn't a great day for Fromm. Maybe it was Missouri a couple of years ago. Maybe it was an LSU a season ago. This year, you point to a South Carolina, but then a back end of the season where, yes, there's plenty of context in an environment where he's working and a roster that he's working with where it was not ideal. It wasn't great performances. Certainly not up to the level that he put out there on film before. And so because of it, I think that, yeah, it's an opportunity. And I don't know that the decision from an offensive philosophy standpoint, who knows if that's not being weighed as well by Jake Fromm, is whether or not he comes back, is what are we going to be doing next year? Not necessarily who are we going to be doing it with, but how are we going to go about doing it?
You talked about looking at the video and the film doesn't lie. Todd Blackledge singled out a couple of instances last night where he was – I'm not going to say he was gun-shy, but it looked like he just didn't. He was hesitant to pull the trigger, and I don't think it's a self-confidence thing. I think he didn't have confidence in some of the things going on around him all season long.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I think that's the way he played, and I think it impacted his play, and I'm not so sure. I don't know that it's a bad thing. You know, you look at what lost you that South Carolina game. Georgia beat Georgia. South Carolina was on the field. Georgia, during the season, up until the SEC championship game, Georgia was the best team Georgia played all season long, and Georgia beat itself versus South Carolina. I don't think anyone's going to argue that South Carolina, with DeCarrion Joyner, won that football game. Georgia couldn't get out of its own way, and when you look at the four turnovers, two of the three, maybe you put one of them on from one of the picks on the attempted throwaway. The other two were on the receivers, and then he had a fumble. But if I'm Jake Fromm and I'm sitting here going, look, I got a bunch of guys out there. I don't trust most of them, frankly. We haven't had enough time, and maybe he has to learn to become more comfortable quicker with these guys and just let it rip and trust it. But you've got a new coordinator. You've got new faces outside, and you know that outside of you're making big mistakes, rather, that you're playing away from your strength, which is an excellent defense and a strong special teams game. So. And it cost you a football game already. So did that impact his play down the stretch? I think it impacted his play from the outset. The Notre Dame game was concerning. It started there, I think, just offensively in general. But it became the Lawrence Cager security blanket game. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. We've seen that other years. Devon Wims. Guys tend to step up and become that go-to guy. Clearly was Cager in that regard, but there wasn't a ton of trust elsewhere. And even last night. George Pickens had a huge night, but it was almost as if, you know, the one touchdown throw end zone throw anyway he attempted to Warner, I think Jake Fromm was just like, man, I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
and he could have gone back to Pickens.
But Matt, look, history shows a couple of things. The picks of quarterbacks in the first round are 50-50. There, you don't know if you got the good one or the bad one because that's just the numbers will absolutely bear it out. It probably bleeds into the second round, certainly beyond that. But they're supposed to, it's the most looked at position in all of sports, and nothing's even close. Mm-hmm. So they're not really supposed to look at a three-game set for a guy. They're not. But I will tell you, if he had started poorly and finished at 70-plus percent, I don't think we're having this conversation. I think the momentum or what have you done for me lately world might have actually said, well, of course he's got to go. It's the order in which his completion percentage and the maybe not letting it rip at times. If the halves of seasons had been reversed, aren't we saying, of course, he's going?
I think we might be. That's just perception outside of the actual decision makers. And I wonder how far back that they will look, because I think we're all subject to the concept of a recency bias. If you look at him last night and you're saying, here's a guy out there just giving guys shots, taking shots downfield and picking some merges, all those things. And in fact, there are many moments where I'm going, man, this offense, boy, Zamir White, look at the way he's running. This offensive front doing a really good job versus a defensive line that's really active, defensive player of the year, and out of the Big 12 with the Lynch kid. There were some good players on that football field, some better defensive players on that field than others that Georgia's faced and have struggled with. So if you look at that, then, yeah, if you just take the Sugar Bowl, yeah. If you look at the front half of the season, maybe. If you look at those last four or five games and you're going, there's no way. And so how do they weigh all that out? And how do they place that into context? And that's why these general managers, that's their job. And I think that's why 50% of them blow it with their picks, especially with quarterbacks, is because how can you know? How do you know how this guy's going to ultimately project? Joe Burrow was, a three-star that Nebraska didn't want, Ohio State didn't want, and he just put together the most torrid college football season I've ever seen. Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback. But Joe Burrow was unconscious this year. No one saw that coming. Nobody even at LSU. They'll sit there and say, oh, yeah, man, oh, yeah, he's just a great player. Well, yeah, now. But nobody was saying in the preseason, you watch, Joe Burrow's going to win the Heisman. This guy's going to carry us to a national title. But he did.
Yeah, the analogy is beyond the left field wall. And he was, like, really beyond the left field
wall.
He wasn't even in the ballpark. Yeah.
He wasn't even in the parking lot. I mean, he was a gritty guy. Who would extend plays. The point being is that Jake Fromm's put together a really strong career, a really strong career. And at the same time, you have to wonder that given the way this season went, does that project as well as he would want or as well as it could were he to play another season? And that's the gamble that I think he is probably trying to weigh out. What is it? Do I leave now, having not had the season that I wanted, or do I come back and risk having another season like the one I just had?
Finishing up with Matt Stinchcomb. He joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You brought up Joe Burrow at the risk of drawing the ire of the Clemson faithful. I just can't see how anybody, including Clemson, can slow that LSU offense down.
I don't either. I will say that if you look at this game, LSU's speed in the secondary but lack of length versus what Clemson has. They've got two really good receivers, although Justin Ross, they say he's been slowed by injury. It certainly hadn't been a season like he had in 2018. But they're both 6'4", he and T. Higgins. That's some serious length. And when you've got a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, who I didn't know he had wheels like he showed the other night versus Ohio State. I knew that he was a good athlete. I didn't know he could run quite that well. But his ability to extend plays, that gives you pause if you're LSU. You get the Divinity kid back at linebacker so you can rush the passer. So I think if anything else, it's can Clemson keep up? I don't know that they'll stop LSU because of Burrow's play and the fact that that guy's hitting behind the back half court shots with his eyes closed. It's just
he's like the Dude Perfect YouTube group.
It's like the Dude Perfect. That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
man. I mean the last two games out, he's made throws where you're just like, is this a? I mean, it's like pregame warmups with Steph Curry or something, where you're just like, oh, let's just see how this works out. And it does. These guys just come down with the catches. He makes the throws. And you just keep wondering, will the other shoe drop? I don't think it's going to.
Hey, Matt, can I tell you what struck me? Because I was on the field for that game, and I watched him make that 8-yard run into his left touchdown throw. Then I watched him with a 2-yard dump off because it was a good decision. He's not careless or reckless. As ballsy as he looks like he is sometimes, he's not dumb with the football. Then he made that one that you're talking about where he threw it up down the sideline, where he had about 6 inches of field still left or else he was going to be out of bounds. But can I tell you what struck me as much as all of that and what they did that day? When that game was over, do you know who was jumping up and down and celebrating for LSU? The guys who didn't play. Everybody else treated it like a business trip. They walked out to the middle of the field. They shook a hand. So this idea that Clemson has played in this game before, well, kind of LSU did too. They played in the SEC championship game. They just steamrolled. If Urine was going to run down their leg the other day, boy, they stopped that conversation. That was a business trip for them.
Yeah, there's an expectation now. I mean, I think those guys actually feel like it's almost fated that they get this opportunity. But I don't think that they feel like it's a given that they've done it already, right? It's sometimes you feel like, hey, you know, it's our championship. We just feel like we deserve it. No. I think these guys have worked to earn the opportunity to win it. And until they get that opportunity, they've got their eyes on the prize and nothing else. And Burrow's done a great job of echoing, I think, that mentality. And every time he's asked about the records, the 7 touchdowns in the first half, the whole 9, all he ever says is, I'm just worried about our record on January 13th.
And you're not a great football team until you finish this now.
No, it's true. No, and that's a great point, too. I've talked to LSU fans, and they said, nah, it's been a great year, blah, blah, blah. And I think, you're lying to yourself. Not this year. Not the kind of season, not the way it's gone this year. You have to win the national title this year. Otherwise, it's a massive, massive letdown. Part of it's due to the talent that they're going to hemorrhage, but also, you know, it's like the Patriots going undefeated and then losing in the Super Bowl. Some people love it, but there's no way that those Patriots fans are going, yeah, but we went undefeated until the Super Bowl. No, it's you lost in the Super Bowl. Well, you missed on what could have been one of the greatest seasons of all time.
All right, so be a good dad through 2020, and then it's on to something else in 2021. That's what we've learned above all else, Matt.
That's right. That's right.
Well, listen, have
Thanks
a happy new
the motivation.
Year. There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Have a happy new year. Great season with you. Hopefully we'll talk again. I don't know if we have you through the championship game or not, but that's up to the business office to decide with your people, Matt.
Yep, tell them to make the right decision, boys.
Hey, Matt, what if you gained 12 pounds this year? Is that maybe part of what you want to do, or could you?
12 pounds of what?
So you're just done. You're never going to be heavy again.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Well, no, you never say never. I mean, I do love my fried shrimp.
Yeah, where's the joy in that?
That's a good point. Gravy, Snickers, there's a lot there. Actually, wait a minute, maybe I do have a goal.
So even more motivation to close out the conversation for Matt Stinchcomb.
See you, guys.
All right, see you, Matt. The College Football Hall of Famer all season long, he's been with us, Matt Stinchcomb, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.